All right, now to hear more of this love in his own way as the Lord directs him, we have Elder William Liverman, one part of the Liverman Ministering team. Elder William Liverman, to give us the mystery, that volume of truth that was delivered to the Apostle Paul by our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus to give to the Grace Church, which is his body. No one else is Christ's body but the Grace Church, us. And it's been revealed now for 2,000 years. Let us hear more of the gospel of the grace of God and receive Elder William Liverman to deliver that to us. Let's receive him with a hearty amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Come on, give him a hand. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Give him another hand. Thank God. You know, amen. Nobody should outshout the praise and glory that we should give to our God. So if you shout amen to Jesus, amen. Especially guys here, they're going to be, in a few more hours, they're going to be out shouting for their football team. Wonderful, I will too. But thank God Jesus won the victory for us 2,000 years ago. It's in eternity, amen. So we have much to shout about, amen. And let's give him another hand. Thank God for the word of God. Amen. All right. We're going right into our scripture, our prayer. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Father. We thank you, Lord, for just the wonderful work of Christ. Oh, God, we thank you to know that we are loved by you and to know that you have us. Oh, God, no matter what we're going through, the tests, the trials, and the problems, we know that we're covered by your love and mercy. So, Father, I ask you to, oh, God, speak through me today, Father. Magnify the word of God. Let Christ be exalted. And so, Father, right now, we thank you for our guests, Father. We thank you, Lord, for our visitors. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you prepared for this Christmas, amen, luncheon. And, Father, right now, whatever your people are going through, Father, we ask that you will speak through the vessel, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank God. We're going to go right into the Word of God today. And, Ross, everyone should have this document, which we refer to later. Amen. The document, yes, you can pass this out now for those. The document that our pastor has written some time ago, God's eternal plan and purpose concerning all things were executed, actualized by his decree in eternity. So just hold on to that packet. We will cover that as we gonna give you a little introduction today. Amen. Thank God. Because since we have, again, some few friends and visitors, we're going to get right into the word. Now, we know that when you come to the Grace Gospel Church, anytime you hit this door, the top is always Jesus. Amen. When we stop talking about Jesus, time to go home. Jesus and him, what he did for us, church, that's the topic. But now, in terms of the direction the Lord is leading me today, in terms of embedding this document, if I were to entitle this, you know, topic Jesus, but if I were to give this a subtopic, the area that causes a lot of God's people so much frustration, many of God's people do not understand the difference between purpose and processes. Amen. Purpose and processes. What we consider as processes, as purpose, is really a matter of God's workings through time. And if you don't know the difference between purpose and process, it causes a lot of problems and confusion. Now, the scripture that we're going to today, now what we're going to do, we're going to give you the scripture, Hebrews 11, 1, 2, 3. Now, Deacon Gavin, you can go ahead and read that in the King James. Now, later on, before the hour's up, we're going to refer that back in the Greek text, because the Greek text is going to bring out more in terms of this verse. Now, while you're looking at this, let me say this. Let me say the Greek text. At the Grace Gospel Church, we have what we call, thank God, my favorite translation is the King James. Amen. Most of you have the King James. But understand, the Bible was written, church, in Greek. And many times you have to go back to what does the Greek say, because many times, you know, most of you, if you have a King James, you probably have some words that's italicized. What they're really saying is that that word was not there. That wasn't in the original language. And we're going to show you a couple of examples today to get the full meaning. You have to go back to what does it say in the Greek? Amen. Now, Deacon Gavin, you can read verse. This we're going to read at 1-3, and we're going to refer back to the Greek later in about 15, 20 minutes, okay? Hebrews 11, 1-3.
We're reading from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1-3, King James Version. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
And what in the world is Paul talking about? The things that you see do not, does not come out of things that appear. Just bear with us. We'll get there. Now, this is one disclosure I'm going to say. We're going to be talking in terms of this disclosure. What I'm going to say in terms of processes, I am not attacking, quote, science. I love science. I love Bill Nye, the science guy. You know, I use a lot of his methodology in my class. I taught science for 20 years. So don't leave this great gospel church saying that Eva Liram is attacking science. Again, I love science. But the problem is that what, in terms of science being, in fact, there's a discipline in most curriculums called physical science. Science is a physical discipline. And what happened when you move this into the church and try to solve life's problems through physicality, church, many times you will be frustrated. Okay? Now, another thing we want to point out, don't be intimidated by the small crowd. Some of you, for those that don't know, this small local assembly in Ferndale, if you look at Deacon Henderson and Deacon Mitchell, our ministry covers the website. Via the website, it covers the globe, Pakistan, Africa, Asia. And what happened, in fact, I got an email the other day from a brother in Pakistan. So when this message is preached today, somewhere around 6 o'clock, it covers the globe. And notice the workings of God. God has always done what? Great things in small places. That's the workings of God. You know, and I've been to mega churches and wonderful. But I'm just saying that don't let the small crowd, intimidate you, okay? And number two is this. Keep this in mind. What is true is not always popular. And what's popular is not always true. Keep that in mind, church. See, sometimes people say, well, Jesus preached and there were thousands of people. That's right. But one time Jesus preached so hard, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And what did they do? They took off. And then Jesus turned around and said, telling Peter, James, and John, are you all going to go too? And Peter said, Lord, but where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. So if you're speaking the truth, sometimes the crowd don't want to hear it. And one time the Apostle Paul turned around, everybody took off. For he was really talking about separating these messages which we're going to cover, okay? Now, going to the message, there are three words that we're going to focus, three key words in today's message. One is microcosm. Men of God's people, they have a province area called a microcosm, and this is a representation of something on a much smaller scale. It really means a small view, a small world view. That's the problem. Men of God's people have a small view of God, a large view of their problems, but a small view, Pastor, of God. But we should have, the problem should be small, and God should be magnified through what he did for us. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Another word is entropies. This word means lack of order or predictability. It's a gradual decline into disorder. In other words, you look around, you see the wars, the fighting, all these crazy things that's happened, and people say, wow, all of this disorder. Don't you dare think that God is not in control of what we call disorder. So entropy is, from the eternal view, there's order in this disorder. Come on, you've been there in your life. One time you felt that, oh, Lord, I lost control. Lord, I can't make it another day. I don't know what I'm going to do. And what? You're still here. Because God sent that disorder for a purpose. Another word, it's called ad nauseam. That's A-D-N-A-U-S-E-A-M. And give an example. Salvation apart from works has been debated ad nauseam for thousands of years. Something that has been done, repeated so often, that it has become what? Norsome. So we're going to refer to that. Now, since we have some our friends here visiting, we're going to take a journey through the Bible today. So we're going to kind of lead up to what Deacon Gavin read in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And this is, since in fact, it's going to kind of connect to the Christmas message that Pastor will be preaching in a few more weeks regarding Christmas. But this is more that could be an introduction, because if you look at the faithfulness of God, and you all know the story, Adam and Eve, you know, sinned in a garden. And see, some people think that, oh, they messed up. Oh, God was out there somewhere. They messed up. Don't ever think that God was not in control of everything that happened in the garden. But what did God do? Through his promises, even in Genesis, there was bloodshed via an animal. God promised a deliverer. And what happened? God raised up leaders. God raised up Abraham. You read over there in Genesis 12:3. And God told Abraham he was going to, what, through his seed, he was going to become a great nation. And what, after this, God raised up Isaac, his son. Then God raised up Jacob. And later on, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And what happened? Through Israel, God created a nation, church. And what did that God do? You know, with a nation has to be governed. So what did God do? You read over there in Exodus chapter 11. God sends Moses. God raised up Moses. And sends, takes Moses up to Mount Sinai and gives him what? The Ten Commandments to govern the nation Israel. Now, I'm going to say this many times. It was for Israel. For Israel. Okay? So God raised up what? Moses. And then through this line of God's workings, he raised up the priests, the prophets, and the kings. And in all of these writings in the Old Testament, God's workings was twofold. The prophets were told to tell the people, teach the people to keep God's commandments, but prepare for the Messiah that was to come. At that time, he was the deliverer of Israel based upon the knowledge they had. Right. Amen. So what did God do? God raised up the major prophets. You can call him, he raised up men that they call minor prophets, major. That's just a man's term. You know, a prophet's a prophet. Just because they wrote more in terms of volume, the prophet that wrote just a little. In God's eye, they were still prophets. Amen. So God raised up Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, who prophesied of what? The Messiah that was coming. Amen. In other words, God's promise to Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to send a deliverer. And what did God do? Hallelujah. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, the promise was still in effect. Because what God said, church, comes to pass. What God said, he means. When God said he loves you, he loves you. Well, somebody said, I messed up yesterday. So who has it? That doesn't take away from the fact that you are loved by God, church. And when you see that Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, amen. In 2 more weeks, we're going to celebrate, you know, amen, December 25th, although he wasn't born on December 25th, amen, amen. And somebody said, what? Jesus was not born on December 25th, church. Okay, and that would be a whole nother lesson, amen. But if you look at the weather, obviously this is unusual weather outside. I think we may break a record today. But if you look at the shepherds in the fields, amen, abiding over their flock, you're not going to do that when it's cold outside. Amen. Come on, church. Jesus Christ was probably born like in the springtime. But we're not going to deal with that. We're just going to understand that he was born. Hallelujah. And he was born And the story tells it, behold, you know the story of Jesus born over there in Luke. My daughter, Erica, she remembered that when she was 6 years old. She could tell me the whole context of that. So we have the Bible lessons in our home for talking about the faithfulness of God. Now understand, when Jesus Christ was what? Born. He grew up. He grew up and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom that was promised. God was going to fulfill his promise that he made to Abraham. So he preached the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus raised up Peter and James and John and the 12 disciples and the 70 and many others. What were their marching orders? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. And this message was what God's message to Israel. You see, church, really, if you really read over there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is the Christmas story. It's really a story on a historical basis of God's dealing with Israel. Because if you had come there during that time and said, oh, let Jesus preaching, and let's say, you know, you a Gentile. Oh, Jesus, give me some truth. You know, he would have told you, get away. In fact, one count, he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. Church, it was Israel. Historically speaking, but thank God we know something today that they didn't know. See, we know something today that Peter, James, John, Isaiah, all the prophets did not know. Hallelujah. And just like God raised up all of these others that we just read. Hallelujah. And then the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus died, went to heaven. Hallelujah. They were looking for the kingdom to come, church. You see, the information they had at that time, they were looking for Christ to come. But thank God, God had another plan. Hallelujah. That was unheard of. God raised up the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Changed his name to Saul, a man that was persecuting the Christians. Understand, he was a steward of the law. And anyone that called on Jesus, you were in trouble. In fact, he had papers to anyone that named the name of Jesus, preached that kingdom gospel. But what happened? The Lord met Saul, changed his name to Paul, and gave him a message that was unheard of. God raised up the Apostle Paul and gave him a message that was called the mystery church. And God sends Paul to the desert of Arabia for 3 years. And he comes back. Paul comes back preaching a different message. Different. And I don't know why it's so hard. In my years of watching television, you know, different ministries, different teachings, I have maybe one few times, but to understand that the messages are different. And once we know this, once we understand this, then we can see that is the workings are different because everything, the kingdom gospel, is based on God's future. Now, somebody said, has the kingdom come yet? Well, you know it. The kingdom has not come yet. Amen. We know that, right? That kingdom message. But they can go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, here's another example, church, when I mentioned, number one, that the Greek. Now, if you in your Bible, if you go there, Philippians 1:10, they read that in the King James and the Greek, please. But I want you to pay emphasis that word where it says excellent. Okay, you can go ahead and read, Deacon, please.
Now we're reading from the book of Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 10, first from the King James Version. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Okay, now, that word in the Greek church, in your Bible where it says excellent, if you underline that word, it really means different. Approving things that are different. What is different? The difference is what Paul preached was a different message than what the Peter, James, and John and the disciples preached. All the word of God, church, But you had two covenants involved. Now, the old covenant, we just mentioned that. Now, we say Genesis, but technically the old covenant did not begin until the book over in Exodus, when God gave the law to Moses. Now, I thought about something. If you read those books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, you read those books, they are consistent in that you don't find any disagreement in those books. You will not go to Daniel and see that Daniel disagreed with Isaiah. Or you go to Deuteronomy and see that they disagree with Ezekiel. They're all consistent. The writers is consistent because it's one covenant. Mm-hmm. Now, you go to the what? You go to the new covenant. By the way, let's speak of the new covenant. That's another area that we need to clarify. Mm-hmm. Old covenant, that was what? The law. Mm-hmm. Now, God says something very interesting. Deacon Gavin, go to Jeremiah 31:31, please. Again, we still notice now, this is what God spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. Yes. Okay.
Now we are reading from the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, beginning at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, mm-hmm. not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, mm-hmm. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, mm-hmm. and they shall be my people.
Notice, church, they had the old covenant, the law, the Ten Commandments. But God knew they couldn't keep the commandments. Now, someone said, why would God give them something they couldn't keep? Understand, church. The condition of the law was you keep the law, you're dead. That was it. Keep those commandments. But the intent of the law was to give testimony that no one could keep it. So what did God do? Old Testament was replaced. Old covenant was replaced with the new covenant. That God steals, the focus is still Israel. And in this covenant, church, there are books that are directed toward that covenant. And these books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts was a transition book. James, Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 2 Peter, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. When you read those books, church, it is consistent. You're going to see water baptism, the tongues, the future coming of Christ, this wonderful kingdom that he's going to set up in the future. The books are so consistent. You will not see John fussing with Peter in his writings. You won't see a Jew arguing with Mark. The books are consistent. Why? New covenant. Now, in the grace covenant, it's a different work. It's a different covenant, church. Now, Deacon Gavin, read over there in Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 2. There's a lot of confusion. In fact, church, there was so much confusion. In fact, the Lord caused the apostle Paul to get, Paul was sick. When this book during this time, and when he saw all these different messages, it caused total confusion. They were saying you have to be water baptized to be saved. Notice, process. Then they had the tongue group. Oh, you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Again, process. People confusing process with purpose. Okay. Now, Deacon Gavin, read Galatians 2:7. Notice the instructions that Paul wrote regarding separating these messages. Deacon Gavin, read Galatians 2:7, please.
We're reading from the King James Version in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me.
The Gentiles?
As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
Church, you can't see that? I tell you, pastor's teaching this 15 years ago, I was confused. Just a quick testimony. Lord, I was reading this author. They said, well, when you read the Bible, if anything doesn't make sense, just write it down. Amen. So I have 44 verses that just didn't make sense. I was frustrated, church, because I knew that's the Bible said that. And one thing that didn't make sense was when Jesus said, okay, wherever they go, in the part of the Sermon on the Mount, whatever people ask for you, give it to them. Don't even just, whatever they, if they want to borrow, they just give it to them. That's even that was. Jesus didn't give everything away. This is in the Bible. And another account, if somebody smite thee, turn the other cheek. I said, what? You mean someone come in my house on drugs and somebody going to take over and I'm supposed to just walk away? Wait a minute. That didn't make sense. I was confused, church. And during the time the pastor Cut was teaching, separating the messages, let kingdom be kingdom, the word of God, let grace be grace. The directors, and I think most of God's people would agree that we're living in the day of God's grace. And the grace, church, is what gathered by certain books called the mystery writings. And these books are Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. These books are our directives. The whole Bible should be read. But church, don't go to those other parts for doctrine. Amen. That's when you get what? Confused.
Amen.
See, I was going there saying, wait a minute, this time of the year, Jesus said, give. They asked. Now, you know, people, in fact, the other day, some of you may have heard on TV, people were receiving packages that the delivery person left, on their door, and other people grabbing and stealing it. So if you're just going to give everything away in this present evil age, church, it doesn't work. But thank God, there is a spirit of giving today. A spirit of giving. That's consistent with all the covenants. But we understand, Peter, the gospel of the kingdom, Israel, the gospel of the grace of God, what? The Apostle Paul. So there are some differences in those books. The kingdom gospel, you know, as we went through the covenants, right? Jesus Christ is preached according to prophecy. Whenever you preach Matthew and Mark and John, those books is preaching this glorious kingdom that one day God is going to set up on this earth. Amen. But in the grace gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to mystery, that hidden message. In the kingdom gospel, yes, it's water baptism. In the grace gospel, it tells us, for by one spirit were we baptized. Baptism means what? Identification. So what happened in the kingdom gospel, when they are baptized, they identify with what? The kingdom message, the new covenant. In grace, our baptism is what? Spiritual. Spiritual what? Identification. Kingdom gospel, they had dietary restrictions. That's right. Under law, you just couldn't eat everything. Church, come on. Couldn't do it. That was God's directives. Under kingdom, they had dietary restrictions. But under grace, the directives are whatever's put before you, eat it. That is, eat. Now, some things are about eating faith now. So if you're just going to take the word of God literally, we just had Thanksgiving. Now, I know some of you had that honey baked ham and you just enjoy yourself. I know you did. Right? So if you're just going to miss these messages, I tell you, let me give you an example. Let's suppose someone they were having Thanksgiving dinner, they sliced all this beautiful honey baked ham. They just had a great time. And let's suppose a young lady ate this, and all of a sudden the Lord gave her the illumination of her salvation. And she remembers, she said, oh, I ate all the ham. And she calls a preacher. She said, pastor, I sinned against God. I said, what do you mean? Well, I read over there in Leviticus and said, you have to wash anything moves a certain way, the pig, you're not supposed to eat. Most preachers would say, oh, honey, get another slice of the ham. That's for the Jews. That's Old Testament. Right. So they understand fundamentally that something was for Israel, the Jews, not for us today. Amen. But somebody said, you mean if I can rattlesnake? Well, amen. If you can handle it, it's not a sin, but I won't go that far. Amen. Amen. So in other words, it's a different message. They can go to Romans 16:25. It's a different message. Amen. See, we have to establish a church that the messages are different. If we do not, if that is not established, then what's going to happen when you read certain things? You're not going to understand. But when you understand, wait a minute. The gospel of the grace of God, the mystery, Paul's writing, the apostle Paul, the writings are different. It's so different that Paul had the authority based upon what Deacon Gavin's read. Now some of you, now let's listen to what Deacon Gavin's going to read now. Romans, let's go to Romans 16:25. Deacon, you may begin reading now.
Now we're reading from the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 25, King James Version. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel.
According to my gospel. Church, you won't find no other author, writer, whether it's Ezekiel, Daniel, Peter, James, John, none of them say that this message, in fact, no one said that the kingdom message was my message. Or Moses never said that the law was my law. In other words, God gave it to him, but Paul said, this is my gospel. What did he mean? A message that God gave to him that was unheard of. Never heard of before in prior ages. Now, keep reading. Yeah, finish. Go ahead.
According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began.
Read the last sentence again, Deacon Gavin, please.
According to the the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began.
Now, it was kept secret, which means, church, that all in the Old Testament, you won't find these books we mentioned, Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, the message of the gospel, of the grace of God, the mystery. It was unheard of in prior generations. They did not know. Remember the prophesied kingdom that was to come? They did not know that Jews and Gentiles, hallelujah, we're in the plan of God. We were one time cut off from what? Israel. Cut off from God in manifestation, but in God's decree, which we can read the document, we have always been with God. But somebody said, how can I be what? Saved and lost at the same time? Wait a minute. When the Bible says, when you were dead in your trespass and sins, that's what we call in what? In process. We were what? We were all have sinned and come short. Falling short of the glory of God in process. Oh man, this flesh sin. Now, the goal is to imitate Christ. See, when you preach like this, people say, well, you're giving people license to sin. Listen, look. The goal is to imitate Christ. The goal is to put the goal of grace. Tell the truth, treat your neighbor right, love everybody every day. The goal of grace is to do what? Do right. But has anybody ever done that? All the time.
No.
Now somebody say, I did it all the time. Well, you know, please, let's pray for that person right now. Right now, church. So the true grace teaching, like one person said, when you mess up, you don't run from Christ, run to him. But thank God when we do mess up, there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, go back to, let's do this. In the essence of 2 Peter 3:16, notice, for sometimes people say, well, the whole Bible, you know, they basically have the same value, rating. Whole Bible, all 66 books is the Word of God. But Peter says something that's very interesting. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, Deacon Gavin, please.
Now, from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 16. Also, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
In other words, Peter said, the apostle Paul, notice church, they were both apostles. What did Peter say regarding Paul's writings? There are some things that are hard to understand. And church, there are many things in Paul's writings that's hard to understand if you're looking at things from, what, down here in time. But there one thing that I'm sure Peter was one thing that was hard to understand. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Now I'm going to go real slow on this one because this is referring to Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Just read verse 3 in the Interlinear Greek. Hebrews, church, we are going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 from the Interlinear Greek text. By faith we understand to have been adjusted the ages by a word or saying of God.
A saying.
So as not out of things appearing, the thing being seen to have become.
Notice, church, what Paul is saying. The things, in other words, it's a saying of God. What God said, it didn't say sayings. What God said, one decree. When God said you belong to him, that's decree. He can't change. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, the word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can't say. He can't change. One decree, we change because we're human. But God doesn't change. Now, so when Peter, I'm sure Peter read it and said, wait a minute, one saying. Peter knew, he knew the book of what was written in Genesis. Now, everyone's read this in your Sunday school class, in your Sunday school class when you were in elementary school. You know, you read that, says, and God created the heavens and the earth. And says what? And God said, let there be light. And God said, this is, in other words, you have, and God said. And God said, let the God created the sun, the stars. And God said, you have a series of what? And God said. In other words, as things appeared, because they had limited information. As things appeared, they assumed that God said it at that time. But the thing, so they said, well, the sun appeared and God said it. Oh, then there's a solar system and God said it. So they have God sequencing his workings. So that's the language that Peter understood. Paul says, wait a minute, it's everything is one saying. He said it one time and then we live one decree. One saying. And that's why Peter said, it's hard to understand. See, now when you understand this, see, when you move in over in time, church, God reveals more to different people at different times. Why is it so hard, ministers? Why is it so hard for people to understand that as God progressively moves, he reveals more? Now, you all don't have, you have no problem in that dealing with the physical world. For example, I have my cousin here, Dr. James Bridges, cousin. He's a medical doctor. My good friend, Karen Eggerson, is a dentist. Now, I'm sure if you go back to the 1500s, and I'm sure Dr. Bridges and Dr. Eggerson will agree, let's say somebody said, I have a toothache, let's say it's in the 1500s. And you want to go, if you had the money, you go to a dentist at that time, you better find something to bite with because you're not going to have nothing to ease that pain. Come on, church. That's the knowledge they had at that time. Or if you have, you have a hernia, you may have appendicitis, and you don't know, and the doctor, they don't know what's wrong. They may do something, but more than not, you die. Because over time, God revealed more. So over here, God revealed more. So what happens, you go from the area where you have more information to shine light on the area where you have less information. And then you understand. Let me give you another example. Previously, for years, I thought this scripture, everybody, come on, you knew this, you had this scripture in Sunday school when you were 10 years old. Deacon Gavin, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, corroborate something. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Come on, church. But stay in your gospel, stay in the directives for information, for doctrine. It clears things up. Deacon, Ecclesiastes 1:9. Now notice who wrote this? You know Solomon. Wise man at that time, right? But what we are going to read, church. See, some of you know where we're going. The wisest man at that time didn't know what he was saying. But somebody said he wrote it. They wrote as God breathed on them. Deacon Gavin's reading Ecclesiastes 1:9. Notice what Solomon said. The wisest man on earth at the time. But notice what he said. Okay?
Now reading from Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Now, when I first read that, I don't know about y'all, I'm going to judge Elder Liverman. When I first read that, that's no new, okay, people killing today, they've always killed, okay, that's true to a degree, but that's not what Paul was saying here in terms of what, the saying in terms of everything is one saying, or everything that's going on there has already been. What happened? There's no new thing, church, because everything that appears has already been.
Already.
That's why when you see things that look new, it look new. It may be new to your conscience, but in the decrees of God, it was already there. You know, I see a lot of married couples here. You know, that day you met that wonderful husband, the wonderful wife. The day you met that person, you said, "Oh, we got married." Guess what? They were there the whole time. God arranged those events for you to meet that person, him or her. Why? It was controlled by God. So when he said there's nothing new, there's no new because everything has already been. Amen? Let's go to the document real quick. Go to the document. Let's say right there, everyone has this. God's eternal plan and purpose concerning things. All things were executed and actualized by his decree in eternity. Now y'all bear with me because I know we had one of the people downstairs, one of the persons will be helping the kitchen, wasn't feeling well. So, Randall, so right now we're going to go about 10 more minutes. Amen? Normally, in fact, it's good because I can get up here to like 20 after. So, we're okay. All right? Now, God's purpose in eternity is, in fact, his accomplishments, which were indeed enacted, actualized by his decree in eternity. Once recognition of this fact renders the extent of all depictions of actions in time as solely manifestations of such. When this cogitation is properly embraced, God's purpose is solidly entrenched in his sovereignty, ordered by his omniscience, infinite wisdom, ratified by his omnipotence, limitless power, and cemented by his inherent immutability, inability to change, and can never fail. This is demonstratively documented by the proper scripture exegesis of God's purpose and its eternal fulfillment being of the same extent in Romans 8:20. Paul reveals to the enlightened mind that the foreknowledge enjoined the foreordained enjoined the called enjoined the justified enjoined the glorified, all by enactment of his eternal decree. In this light, congruence and concomitancy exude the distinction of eternity's characteristic, notice, of non-sequential application, church. In other words, what we're saying is not about processes, it's about purpose. And in my life, I was totally frustrated and confused because I confused processes with purpose. I remember years ago, amen, when we first got married, I attended this church in Washington, D.C., and the whole focus was on, please, I'm not critical of the church, I'm just letting you know my experience. But in my wife, the Lord had the enlightenment, you know, her salvation is already manifested. See, in that time, they would say, I wasn't saved. Why? Because I didn't follow their platform. But now I was saved in eternity. But the whole idea is that, they're saying, Karen, living, he needs these tongues. So what happened? I would go to church. Lord, they had the two mothers. I mean, they were waiting for 3 weeks in a row. They had me in the back kitchen, in the back door. Oh, say it, Jesus. Say it faster. Say Jesus. And then another one said, say it slower. So I came out sweating. I came out. Come on, church. I was sweating. I was frustrated. So I went home. I said, Lord, is this what salvation is all about? So the next Sunday, oh, they had me back there. Oh, come on, Limmer. I know you love the Lord. Come on, say, you got to say it faster. But then I was confused because the mother on the right said faster, and the mother on the left said slower. So that second time, my wife, I said, babe, I said, listen, I think you better stay, you and Jesus, I watch the Super Bowl, I watch the football games, I take you to church, this is just too much. And I was sweating. So, Pastor, I don't know, maybe the mothers got the news that this was the last time I was going to that church. But Lord, when I got there, they had a special outfit on. I guess they said, you can get these tongues today. Lord, they had me back there. And I said, why is it that they have two mothers? Come find out, they were competing because they were the first person that spoke in tongues. They want to get the credit. I don't know, they probably had a little manual saying that I get credit for this person. Can you imagine God putting your eternal salvation in the hands of a man or a woman? Then you have to measure up. And none of us can measure up. And Lord, I came up, but the God's grace, I got the tongues. Amen. But see, what happens, I was more focused on the tongues than on Christ. Deacon Gavin, please, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8-9. Amen, right now. It was a rush program, church. Now, we're not, thank God for good words. In Christ Jesus, amen, good words. But not for salvation, church.
Amen. Now we're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Not of works. See, notice, church, if I got the tongues, they were saying, oh, they assisted my salvation. Not of works. I didn't know, amen, that please go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. See, I didn't know this. In other words, when I got the tongues, at that point, I said, hallelujah, if the rapture comes today, William Littleman is going to heaven. Why? Because I got those tongues. But Lord, it's something I did not know. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, please. Hallelujah.
Now, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 4, King James Version. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, or being, present infinitive, holy and without blame before him in love.
That he chose us, church. Notice, I was trying to what? Measure up. Sweating. Doing everything. Not knowing God had already chosen me. But somebody said, you didn't know it. A lot of things that you don't know, that doesn't take away from what God did for you. So in other words, all that turmoil, all that frustration, and I was already chosen by him before the foundation, before I got it to this world, God already had me picked. Before you even breathe one spot of air from your, amen, the moment the doctor slapped you, made a beautiful cry, God's hand was already on your life, already at the church. But see, processes all these things in process. If you're going to measure salvation by processes, you would be frustrated. Why? Because you are governed by processes and not purpose. I got to say this. And it's all spiritual now. It's all spiritual. But I'm going to give you an example of something that happened a few weeks ago. It's all spiritual, but just bear with me. Amen. I'm going to rush this. I got about 7 minutes. There was a game. Some of you may have seen it. Okay. The Lions play the Green Bay. The Lions lost 24 straight games. Amen. Those, by the way, of the website. This is, you know, football, right? They lost 24 straight games to the Green Bay Packers. Now, some you saw that game. Amen. And what happened? The Lions were leading 18-16. All crazy things happened in that game through process. They had 10 men in the field two times. The Lions messed that up. They missed two field goals. And in process, you could see all the fans nervous. They were like praying because what happened if they had just gotten the ball? A few seconds left, you know, the onside kick. If they had just gotten the ball, the Lions would have won. And guess what? They had the best handed receiver in the NFL, Calvin Johnson. The ball went right through his hands. All these crazy things happening. And then what happened? The Green Bay, when they got the ball, you could see all their arrogance because they said their kicker, he was sure to kick the ball and Green Bay would have won. And what happened? You could see the kicker, Prater, for the Lions. He was just so frustrated. In process! Man said, you know what? You could have made one field goal, you would have won. All these crazy things happening in process. Then what happened? The Green Bay kicked the ball and the ball just died. And what happened? Understand now, somebody said, well, he must have kicked the ball wrong. Wait a minute. I almost shouted. The Lord gave me the scripture, and when he kicked the ball just died. See, now, if you look at science, they would give you a terminology. Why did that ball die? Well, here's what happens. They would give you a quick thing called projectile motion. And they would say there's a term, church, called projectile motion. That is, when a football is launched, if it goes a certain way in velocity, the ball is going to trajectory. So they would say, in other words, they would answer that through what? Physicality. They would say he missed the ball because he had the wrong projection. They're trying to answer physicality with physicality. And again, I'm not beating up on science. But the Lord gave this scripture. I'm going to tell you what really happened. Amen. Go to Ephesians. Amen. Where it talks about the breath of God. I believe that's Ephesians chapter. Church, I'm going to tell you what happened. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. 14 through 18. The breath of God, the purpose of God. You can go and read this in the King James.
Now we're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning verse,
14 through 18.
Verse 14 through verse 18, King James Version. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth?
The breadth.
And length?
Length.
And depth?
Depth.
And height?
Height. And no church. In the translation for breadth is purpose. Anything that has length, width, and height, that is all physicality, church. And notice, I thought about this. A football field is 160 feet wide and 360 feet long, length. And what happens? Everything that happens on that field is according to purpose. What God did, when he kicked that ball, God just blew the ball and the ball hit the ground. And that means, church, that everything is according to God. When you want to go right, if God blows on you, you're going to go left. If you want to go down, God blows on you, you're going to go up. In other words, your whole life is according to the breath of God.
Hallelujah.
And when you live life this way, you can have the peace that passes all understanding to know that he controls all things. I'm going to close on a little story here, then we'll close. This all deals with the purpose of God. You notice we talked about staying in the light. For our gospel gives you more information, church. And I'm going to close on this because by the grace of God, you get this real two-minute story. Years ago, I was teaching a biology class, and there was a student. Students came in, they were specifying, they were taking some microscopes, and they were studying cells. And what happened, they came in, and they were looking at cells in a microscope. And it was interesting that as they were doing this, they were all excited. But I noticed Cynthia over here, she had a piece of a manual, and she threw it on the paper, and she was so frustrated. And I said, Cynthia, what is wrong? And she said, Mr. Littleman, I can't see. She said, I can't see. So I said, Cynthia, you can't see. So we've been over there. I said, I realized, guess what, church? She couldn't see. She couldn't see. I said, Cynthia, what happened? I did everything right. I can't see. I can't see the cells. I can't see. I said, Cynthia, back up on what you did. Back up on the process. She been in the class. She did this, she did this. And she said, oh, I forgot to adjust the lens. Church, in a microscope, what happened? She had the specimen. When she adjusted the lens, more light was on that object. And when the light came, she said, I can see, I can see, I can see. And let's take this. Let's take a spiritual microscope. Church, you remember that word, microcosm? Here's what happened to most of God's people. God is so small spiritually. It's like you're looking through a microscope spiritually, and you can't see nothing. God is so small. But when it's so big, problems all around, they're so big. But what happens when you put light on that problem? When you put light in that situation, you know what happens? That problem becomes smaller and God's become bigger. And someone said, well, how do you put light on my problems? Put light on your problems is focus in the area where you have the greatest light. And the greatest light, you focus in the area of what God said. And what God said certain things about you as a member of the body of Christ that should bring light to your situation. God said that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. What God said you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. God said that he always calls you to triumph in Christ. God said you have obtained an inheritance. You are not going to attain an inheritance. You already have one. You had one in eternity before you got here. You obtained an inheritance through the blood of Christ. Somebody said, what have all the problems I'm going through, all the trials and tests? God said that I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. God said that if God be for you, if I be for you, who can be against you? God said that you win. And God said of everything, what happens? And you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, it brings light. Wow. The light said, my problem is not that big. Because now your problem has become smaller and God has become bigger. And in closing, you can say, God said that you can say what Paul said. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go back to what God persuaded. I am persuaded that I win. Be persuaded that God loves you. Be persuaded, persuaded, persuaded that no matter what comes, they can throw a nuclear bomb in your backyard, in your backyard. You are safe because you belong to Christ. And above all things, be persuaded that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praising, praising, praising.